Didn't our team do a great job on that? Yeah. We're so thankful for all of our game changers. And today we celebrate the 380 teenagers and adults who show up early, who stay late, who drive to the city and serve at our Indy campus, who mentor teens, lead fitness classes, serve in the community. Those of you who send cards to sick ones and care packages and lead groups and make coffee and coach games and set up goals and run the scoring table and serve food. So many of you who lead songs and hold a camera and watch or welcome others and set out communion and pray for the people of our church. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In fact, if you're a game changer in any capacity in this moment, would you just please stand up right now? Go ahead, stand up. Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. We want to celebrate you today, and I want you to know I'm inspired by your life of faith today. And if you're new to Victory or not yet a game changer, we came up with this whole terminology about 3 years ago. And here's what we did. We defined game changer as people who are leveraging their lives for eternal impact. People who are leveraging their lives for eternal impact. And so this is like way more than just serve. This is way more than show up and fill a need. Like, no, what we're doing here is way better than that. What God called you to do was way more than that. In fact, no matter your past and no matter your baggage and no matter what you're struggling with, even right now in this moment, we believe at Victory that every beating heart is created in the image of God. And that we believe that God created you on purpose with a purpose. And not only that, but our lives are connected. And what we say and how we serve and the choices we make in this life, we are actually connected to each other. And get this, our actions and our reactions and our words are not just connected to each other. Scripture actually teaches that my life and your life, our lives are connected to eternity. And so if you're a Jesus follower, here's what you believe. Matthew and John and Peter and those who wrote the eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, they had their moment. And not just them. Priscilla and Chloe and Lydia and Paul and Mary, those people who helped start and lead and fund and launch the early church, they had their moment that impacted eternity. But we believe that God specifically placed them and God uniquely wired them for their moment. And then we also believe that our lives and our faith is connected to how they responded to the call that Jesus placed on their lives. And so at Victory, we're celebrating all of you who are actually connected to all of them. That when we get in the game and when we become game changers, we're joining all of them and we're leveraging our lives for eternal impact. In fact, even our logo has a hidden meaning in it. Our goal is to help everyone at Victory to become fully engaged. And not just about what you know. So it's not about, you know, your name being on a membership role. No, it's better than that. In Scripture, Paul doesn't challenge us to place our faith in works. That's not the deal. But every New Testament letter is compelling us to have a faith that works. And so at Victory, we talk about engagement. And so those five bars on the Game Changer logo represent baptism and the four G's. You heard we're considering a fifth one. But here's the deal. We don't just go to church. We are the church. We don't just go to church. No, we're to live our lives on mission. In fact, the mission statement of Victory came from the very words of Jesus. When Jesus said, all authority, you know what all means in the Greek? All things, all people, all respects, all ways, every kind, full, all authority. And then he says, in heaven and on earth. And just so we're on the same page, that's everywhere, right? Heaven and earth has been given to me. And because of that, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And it was the dedication and the commitment and the very real struggle of those first followers of Jesus to engage in this life-changing mission that has actually affected everything that you and I believe about God even today. And that's why I'm just so thankful for every single person here who is a game changer. Because game changers, they see differently. Game changers, they think differently. Game changers wake up every day with eternity on their mind. Eternity is on their mind. Now, one of the challenges in American church is that so many of us have an anthropocentric approach to life. Don't worry, I'll break it down, right? It's going to be simpler, right? It simply means a man-centered approach, meaning that we believe that we are the center of the meaning of the universe. In fact, even the way we measure the universe is from its distance from Earth. And so this approach focuses on my behavior, that we are the heroes of every story we tell. And when we pick up and actually read the Bible, we go, hey, what is in here for me? But when you pick it up and you actually read the Bible, you will discover that the focus of Scripture is not man-centered. It's actually a theocentric approach. It's God-centered approach, meaning that life is lived in understanding that all things flow from God, through God, and to God. That our God, the one we serve, the one we sing to, is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. And together as a church, we've been reading through the New Testament, through the Bible reading plan. We're in the middle of the book of Acts. Hope you're reading it along with me. And what you do is you read that, you realize that all of Scripture is based on the activity of God and the purposes of God and the plan of God. In fact, just to break it down really simple, the story of the Bible is simply this. That in the middle of our sin and our shame and our emptiness, in the middle of our own personal darkness, Jesus came to rescue us. That our status with God isn't going to be based on anything that you and I could ever do. Our standing with God is not based on our own morality or our own ability to measure up, but it's based on what Jesus has done for us, in place of us. In fact, at its core, Christianity isn't about self-help or morality, but divine rescue. Divine rescue. So game changers, we wake up every day with eternity on our mind, with rescue beating in our hearts. And game changers see differently, and game changers think differently. And while everyone else in America is looking for a better story for me, where they get to be the center of the story, where they get to be the hero of every story they tell, Jesus followers are called to realize you are a part of a better story, God's story. And your role isn't just to be a hero. No, we get the privilege, and we have the opportunity to become hero makers. Now, this is how I define hero makers. It's people who use their influence to empower others to be heroic. People who use their influence to empower others to be heroic. You maybe know some hero makers, or maybe you are a hero maker, using your influence to empower others to be heroic. And we haven't talked about this kind of idea a lot here, so I just want you to let it sink in for a second. But the reality is simply this: even our heroes have heroes. Even our heroes have heroes. Take this out of the context of the Bible, the stories we watch, the shows we watch. Even our heroes have heroes. And we love hero makers. Harry Potter needed Dumbledore. Luke Skywalker needed Obi-Wan Kenobi. Rocky needed Mickey in his corner. Even our heroes have heroes. And for every hero, there is a hero maker. And when you recognize your role as a hero maker, you realize that hero makers, they think differently. There's a shift in our thinking. We dream bigger than ourselves. Hero makers don't need the credit. Hero makers don't do it for their personal benefit. Hero makers don't need their ego stroke. And even if you never decide to follow Jesus, I think you owe it to yourself to live for more than yourself. Because if you live for yourself at the end of your life, you will have nothing but yourself. And no one but to blame for it but yourself. You owe it to yourself to live for more than yourself. And so hero makers think differently, and hero makers see differently, and hero makers see with God-type lenses to see our world and to see ourselves and to see the way that God intended us to live. And we have to look at our lives with a bigger perspective. And I'll be transparent. It is easy to get consumed. We zoom in and focus on me, my worries, my struggle, my kids, my finances. But hero makers, they zoom out to see what God is doing in the world around them. They zoom out to see God at work in their family, in their neighborhood, in the world. And if you're a Jesus follower, you've been given this unbelievable invitation that the Almighty God of the universe invited us to be a part of what he is doing in this world. And as you follow Jesus, I just want to ask, how are you using your influence to be a hero maker? How are you empowering the people around you to actually be heroic? I was a student minister for 15 years, and my wife teaches at an elementary school. And so one of our favorite things to do is to catch all of you doing something here at Victory. It's to serve in our kids' ministry and to serve in our student ministry. Like, I know that when you wake up and early and you stay up late, it is not glamorous, but I'm telling you, it is there that you will find this concept of hero making playing out in our church every single week. In fact, with all of my years of experience in ministry, I would struggle to communicate the joy I personally receive in student ministry by sharing four letters of the alphabet with the generation that was behind me. I mean, you see, when you serve with kids and you serve with students and care for students, unlike anyone else on planet Earth, you get the privilege and you have the opportunity to share four of the most life-changing letters of the alphabet. Are you ready to learn what they are? It's I see in you. I see in you. Everyone else sees a smelly middle school kid, but I see Harry Potter. I see in you. Everyone else sees someone who isn't perfect, but I see potential. I see you. I see the way that you're raising your kids, and I know that it's tough, but you're making progress. You're making a difference. I see you. I see that you're going after that job, and I know it's going to be tough, but I think it's going to happen for you. I see how you're working on your marriage, and it's not easy, but I promise it will be worth it. I see in you. It could be a phone call, a text message, a snail mail letter, but those four letters of the alphabet, I see in you, can shape someone's future. And so our lives are connected, and our mission is connected, and eternity is at stake. I want you to never forget that this is our moment, that this is our time, that you and I are stewards of the church. This is our watch. And so if the rescue of Jesus and the perception of Jesus and the mission of Jesus loses ground on our watch, if how you and I love one another and serve one another and accept one another and don't complain about one another and how we forgive one another and how we don't lie to one another and how we never gossip about one another, get this, we can do all of that. We can do all of that, but if you and I fail to see ourselves in the mission, if you and I fail to pass down our faith, if you and I fail to become hero makers, we fail. We fail because our lives are connected to eternity. And if we fail, there is no one else behind us. This is our time. This is our moment. It's connected to eternity. And that's why one of our values here at Victory is passing down our faith, setting up the next gen to win. And the question we ask in staff meeting all the time is, what's the faith of the next generation worth? And the answer that you'll get from every staff member is everything. Everything. So just like Peter had his time, and Paul had his time, and Mary had his time, and Lydia impacted, they all impacted our faith. Right here in this church this morning, we are making heroes of the faith that will impact the faith community 30 years from now, 100 years from now. Never forget, for every hero, there is a hero maker. Even our heroes have heroes. Batman had Alfred. Spider-Man had Uncle Ben. And Black Panther had Zuri. For every hero, there is a hero maker. And get this, if you think about it, you probably had a hero maker. You had a hero maker. Have you paused to reflect on your own story? You and I, we have this in common. We are the result of someone else who spent time with us, taught us, coached us, invested their life into our life. You probably had a hero maker. Who was it for you? Who inspired you, impacted you, challenged you, guided you, who poured into you, who believed in you, who never gave up on you when they sure could have? Who is your hero maker? I want you to think about it this way. If all of the important relationships in our life were like this funnel into our life, who are the people who funnel their life into your life? Academically, professionally, spiritually, financially. Who are your hero makers? I mean, have you slowed down in your life, in your own pursuit to be a hero of your story, to recognize who it was that was pouring into your life? Who are your hero makers? And here's a question. Do they know it? Have you told them? Everybody wants to be a hero. And it does take bravery and conviction to be heroic, and that is a good thing. But greatness is found in being a hero maker. So many of you are heroic, but could it be time to move from becoming like Luke Skywalker to acting like Yoda? Could it be time to reevaluate your game changer role at Victory and take another step? Because greatness is found in being a hero maker. You see, when you go all the way back to the beginning of Christianity, you discover that those first followers of Jesus were invited to go on this adventure. And as they journeyed with Jesus, they experienced some high highs and some low lows. They saw with their own eyes Jesus do miracles, incredible miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. People walked from as far as 100 miles away just to hear Jesus preach. And the Jesus movement, it grew. And you can pick up and read the New Testament and you discover that many of Jesus' first followers sacrificed everything to follow him. They left their jobs, they left their family, they left their safety, they left the purpose that they thought they had to follow Jesus. And he offered this incredible invitation to join this journey with Jesus, but eventually it hit the top of the hill. And it started headed down, and as Jesus headed to the cross. Can you imagine the disappointment, the hurt, the loss, maybe the disillusionment as those disciples stood there realizing that they had risked everything to follow Jesus and now they're watching their dreams and their leader die on that cross. It was over. I mean, they had to be thinking, what happened? They had to be thinking, okay, what do we do now? And many of them, scripture says that they went back to their old jobs to try to restart their life. And just imagine a few days later they hear, he's back. They're like, what? No, he's back. I saw him die. No, what do you mean he's back? No, he's back. We had breakfast with him on the beach. We hugged it out on the beach. He's back. And not only did the first followers of Jesus see him, there were hundreds of other eyewitnesses. And imagine what they were thinking. This guy beat death. He's not stopping us now. Pharisees, watch out. Rome, watch out. World, watch out, because he's back. They had to be thinking, I can't wait to see what Jesus is going to do next. I mean, he's done miracles. We saw that. He's fed thousands with basically a happy meal. He walked on water. We watched him predict his own death and come back to life. What's he going to do next? But what Jesus did next was almost as unpredictable and almost as unthinkable as surrendering to death and coming back to life. What Jesus did next is he left. He left. Can you imagine the tension? Jesus, don't leave again. Jesus, this doesn't make any sense. How could this be a good plan? Like, Jesus, did you see what happened last time you left? We went home. We thought it was over. No, Jesus, you're the leader. You're the miracle worker. You're the Savior. And with all of that tension and all of that drama, Jesus steps up and says, I'm actually leaving because I have a better plan than me. My plan is you. My plan is not you like John and Andrew and Peter. No, Jesus didn't replace himself with a person. He replaced himself with a people, the church. In fact, from the very, very beginning, the church was never about a building. It's always been about the people. Jesus is the ultimate hero maker. And hero makers think differently. And hero makers see differently. They know eternity starts today. Eternity, it starts today. I mean, I think that you and I, we misunderstand eternal life. In fact, the night before Jesus got arrested, he's in the garden, he's praying to God for us, and he gives us the definition of eternal life, and he says, now this is eternal life. So this is Jesus talking. And so whatever Jesus says next, that is the definition. So with whatever you think, when you think about eternal life, if it doesn't match what Jesus says, you're wrong, right? So Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they, meaning you, that they, meaning me, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, if you scan over that again, he doesn't mention angels or harps or clouds or anything like that when talking about eternity. No, he talks about knowing God. And that word know can be translated ascertain, aware, certainly, come to know, comprehend, discover, find, know how, learn, perceive, realize, recognize, sure, take notice, and understand. He mentions knowing God in a deeper way. And in his prayer, Jesus says, our eternal life, it starts in this life. It starts with you and I knowing Jesus and trusting Jesus and taking steps towards Jesus in this life. So our enemy has distracted us. Our enemy has lulled you and I into sleep, but we are at war. And you need to recognize that eternity, it starts today. That you and I are called to leverage this life for eternal life. We're called not just to be a hero, but to follow Jesus, to become hero makers. Jethro had Moses. Moses had Joshua. Naomi had Ruth. Elijah had Elisha. Elizabeth had Mary. Peter had Mark. Barnabas had Paul. And then Paul turned around and had Timothy. Who do you have? Who do you have? One of the best ways to be a hero maker at Victory is actually to become a game changer. Become a game changer and to join one of our game changing teams. That God has strategically placed you in this moment to have the family that you have, to have the job that you have, to be in school where you're in school. You were created on purpose with a purpose. So the reality is you could have been born 150 years ago, but God placed you right here. God planted you here right now, and you've been given a mission to advance the kingdom of God, to help bring heaven to earth. So that means that God created you, and God gifted you, and God rescued you, and now God has enlisted you, and he wants his church, God wants his followers to leverage their lives for eternity. No matter your age, no matter your stage, I just want you to sense, I want you to know, I want so deeply want you to understand that you are a part of that. And you are a part of that. And you are a part of that. And up there, you're a part of that. We are a part of this movement. You and I, we were made for more. We were created on purpose with a purpose. He strategically placed us in this moment to join him, to connect people back to God. But the choice is yours. See, if you live for yourself, at the end of your life, you will have nothing but yourself and no one else to blame for it but yourself. I've been to enough funerals, I think, to earn the credibility to tell you as a friend. So hear this in the most loving way possible. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to live for more than yourself. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. You get to decide. You can live for yourself if you want. It's an option. But life is better when we accept our role as a hero maker. Life is better when we live with eternity in mind. Life is better when you and I realize our role in connecting people back to God. Could you check out the screen? Thank you for providing more fun, more laughs, more faith in action, more impact to our community, more enthusiasm for the mission.
Thank you for providing more experiences, more environments, more moments, and capturing more pictures and more videos that help tell the story of what Jesus is doing right here in our church and in our community.
Thank you for providing more dedication to the mission of Victory, for making the building and grounds ready for our city to experience our community and Jesus.
Thank you for everything that you do, providing generosity to fuel the mission of Victory Christian Church. Game Changers, you are at the heart of everything that we do. And we are so appreciative of your sacrificial giving and of your time and energy.
Thank you for providing more opportunities for our children to connect with God. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Thank you for providing more opportunities for people to connect online.
Thank you for providing more wise counsel and guidance for the next generation of students as they try to build a faith of their own.
Thank you for providing more early morning energy, more in-the-moment prayer, more compassion for people you may have never met, more next steps for people who want to grow closer to God, more reasons for our guests to come back next week, more excitement for the things God's doing around here, more resolve to keep leveraging your gifts for the kingdom.
Thank you for providing more opportunities for worship moments where people can look above their life, their circumstances, and they can fix their eyes on Jesus.
Thank you for those who provide a place for our kids to come to not only learn about devotions, but also about our sports.
As a kids ministry, we've seen it all. Thank you for providing more patience, more intentionality, and more love.
Thank you for creating more opportunities for people to feel welcome, for people to feel cared for people to feel like they belong, and for providing hope to so many in our community.